For more on all of this, I want to bring in General Keith Kellogg. He's a retired three-star Army general and the co-chair of the Center for American Security at the America First Policy Institute. General Kellogg, thanks so much.
Hey, Vince, thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
Is this something that Americans should be worried about?
Yeah, I think so, Vince. Look, there's been reconnaissance balloons that have come across the United States before. Here's the biggest concern I've got. It's tracked, where it's going, and also the size of it. You know, it's carrying a payload, what I mean by payload, with the sensors on board of it, about the size of a fire truck. You know, it's pretty big. It's flying about 60,000 feet. But when you look at the track of it, it's going across your Montana, Wyoming, the Dakotas. That's where all of our ICBM missile fields are. And when you look at it, it's going across Malmstrom, Montana, which is where the 341st is, the wing. Warren, Wyoming, that's where the 90th is. And Minot, South Dakota, that's where the 91st is. And they control all of our ICBMs. And the fact that what a balloon does, unlike a satellite, it can loiter. It can sit there and gather information. Think of a vacuum cleaner sweeping up all that information. And it takes its time to do it. So there's a value in having those balloons do it. And I'd be very, very concerned about the track right now, because my best recollection, I've never seen a track like that before with one of their balloons. And it's not a commercial balloon. It's a military balloon.
Yeah, they claim that it simply blew off course because of westerlies and the prevailing winds. But this is a balloon that was spotted at least 500 miles inland above the continental United States. Hard to see that being an accident.
Yeah, if you believe that it's a civilian balloon, I got a bridge to sell you to in Brooklyn. You know, it's just not true. And I know what they're doing, they're gathering information.
The United States government has been making claims to the press that, you know, this balloon, whatever surveillance advantage a balloon gives over a satellite, they say there's little additive value. It's very little difference. And if so, if that's the case, again, you know, why use a balloon and not just satellite surveillance, as China clearly does all the time?
Well, you know, as I said before, you know, the reason is because you're going to loiter. It can stay in the same place. And think of that vacuum cleaner in the same place, you know, sweeping up, you know, verbal communications, picking up signals communications, picking up all that stuff from those sites that they're talking about, because
right,
it's going over critical sites. And that's the advantage of a balloon. And we've been using balloons, we, the military, have been using balloons since the 18th century for observation, everywhere from the Civil War to World War I to World War II. But then people said, well, now we're into satellites. Well, there is an advantage to using balloons. We've used them, they've used them, and they travel very high, and they can, because of the way they are, they can carry a massive payload.
Yes.
And that's the reason I said payloads are carrying is enormous.
There was, you know, commercial flights were grounded for a bit in the region of Nellis Air Force Base. The Air Force F-22s took off, it is reported, and they went and they observed the balloon, but then there was no shoot down order given. The White House and the Pentagon considered this, but they decided not to shoot down the balloon out of concern that the debris may place Americans at risk. I kind of wonder what you think of all of that sequence of events, and also, could those F-22s have done anything to disable the surveillance without shooting the balloon down?
Well, I think, you know, when people talk like that, they're kind of just saying, oh, well, don't worry about it, no big deal. Well, it is a big deal, but it's not so much the balloon, which is important to me, and the gathering of information, which is important to me. It's the signal that the Chinese are sending, and it's the signal we are sending back. And we are sending back a very weak signal. You know, and this is one of those where I'd like to say, well, today I kind of believe in Chinese takeout, you know, and it's I just believe that we need to send a message, and one of those messages ought to be, you do that, you're over a very sensitive site, and we're going to respond to it by bringing the balloon down, and then we'll look at the sensors that are on board and determine that. I understand the concern they've got over debris damage, because that's a very valid concern, but I think the concern in national security rises above that, because we're sending a message to the Chinese, we don't care what you do,
yes,
on security, surveillance, it's okay. And it's not okay. It's wrong.
Yeah, in other words, we can be walked all over, or in this case, floated all over, and we won't be able to stop you. But again, on the F-22s, is it possible, do we have the tech to disable surveillance even without shooting the balloon down?
Not really. I mean, you've got jamming techniques, but you've got fast movers, F-22s, F-16s, whatever the aircraft is. They move too fast, you can't do it. So you really, you're basically not really doing something with the package that it's carrying.
Gotcha.
And you need to disable the package, because what happens, the package loiters, and it sends you, it doesn't collect the information to hold it. It actually sends it back. So you've got to disable the entire package, which means take down the balloon, because it'd be kind of hard to get exactly without damaging the balloon, the rest of the sensor package. So just take the whole thing down as a package deal.
Yes.
And tell the Chinese we're not going to tolerate this.
So as you mentioned at the outset, you're concerned about the track of this balloon. I was seeing, as I mentioned, that it looks like it came in from the northwest. It is on track to drift down southeast through the continental United States. There are quite a few military bases on that track. And so our plan right now, our American government saying, we're going to let the Chinese surveil that entire track and we're just going to wag our finger at them?
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. But again, I think the most important thing is the fact that it's tracking.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Across one of the three elements of the triad, which is our missile field, where we have 400 ICE sitting, and it's going to go across, you know, Montana, Wyoming, and South Dakota, exactly where those fields are. I mean, you know, and it's, you know, for nefarious reasons. And I just think accepting that is sending a bad signal. It's a bad demand signal we're sending to them, and we should take some type of action. And I think what they're saying publicly is they're kind of saying, oh, no big deal, don't worry about it. Well, we should worry about it. When it comes to national security, it's important, and what they're doing is very, very important. And let's respond to it. And I'm surprised we haven't.
Yeah, me too. President Biden and the Chinese leader Xi Jinping spoke to each other a couple of weeks ago. And when they did, they made arrangements for Secretary of State Tony Blinken to visit Beijing. That was supposed to occur today. As of this morning, Tony Blinken has postponed his trip to China, apparently over all of this. But the idea was that, oh, we are going to soften relations with China. We're going to send Tony Blinken over. We're going to negotiate. Things are going to be chummy again. What does this do to U.S.-China relations?
It hopefully we're sending a signal that we're not going to tolerate this. But, I mean, the relations are already strained, and they should be because of Taiwan out there. But you know, honestly, Vince, I keep going back to presidential decision making and the way presidents operated. And Biden just seems to walk by the graveyard whistling and hoping nobody's going to pay attention. This decision, for example, on the balloon, that was in the Oval Office. I know that. It has to be. And then you got somebody like Blinken, or the Secretary of State, not going there. Well, okay, we need to send a much stronger signal than that. Just somebody not traveling is not a strong enough signal. And it's almost like we're always taking a back seat. So when he canceled it, I said, okay, he's canceled it because of the balloon, but we need to respond to it. That's a passive response. Passive meaning I'm not going. We need to take an active response, shoot down the balloon. And that's what you send the message to. Not going on an airplane ride doesn't send a message.
I did see in much of the reporting that this is not an infrequent occurrence, that the Chinese often send surveillance balloons up in the air. Is this the kind of thing that happened at all during the Trump years? Did balloons from China float across the continental United States?
Yeah, there were balloons that went out there, but it was the track that we didn't worry about. You know, when you do a southern track or something like that, and then when you're 60,000 feet up there, you know, you look at it, it didn't go any, you know, there were a couple times when it went across and we said, okay, it's one of those no harm, no fouls. When it gets to a position where it's tracking, you know, very, very sensitive military sites, which this one is, then you respond to it. Okay, you don't respond to every single incident because you don't know what's going to happen, but you need to respond to them when they're pretty significant. And this is a significant issue, and I think this is the time you need to significantly respond, because balloons, you know, again, it's a giant vacuum cleaner out there.
Yeah.
If it just goes across the Southwest, no big deal. It's sort of like they're kind of testing us this time. And this is one, like, okay, you've gone a little bit too far. We're not going to tolerate this one.
We send a message. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Do you think that the Chinese government did this on purpose as a test?
Oh, absolutely, Vince. I mean, governments do not do things just randomly. They do it for a reason. They said, let's find out what the response is going to be. Let's find out their decision-making, and let's find out what they're going to do. And we're going to go over their most sensitive sites to find out what they're going to respond. If we don't respond to the most sensitive sites observation, then what are we going to respond to?
Right. So then China takes this as a permission slip to do what?
Well, I can extend it to lack of decision-making. I extend it, in the worst case, to Taiwan.
Yeah.
What will the United States do if we apply pressure on Taiwan? Not necessarily invade. Well, what happens if we encircle the island with our navy? Or what if we really put a stranglehold on it with the air assets? You know, we've now seen what the United States decision-making apparatus is, and they vacillate. They're a little bit weak. So I look at it as you can't look at it in a direct line. You have to look at it in an adjunct angle, meaning, okay, why did they do this? What's the reason they're doing this? And what is the outcome down the road on someplace else? Taiwan's a great example. So they're testing our response and our resolve, and this is the time we need to show them what kind of resolve and response we have. Because they're by the way, I've been involved in operations before where we've done this, instead of like, let's find out how he's going to respond. You know, what is this nation going to respond to it? And it's kind of like a test case. Now, if they don't respond, you go a little bit further. Then you go a little bit further. Then you go a little bit further. And that is just a very good way of checking somebody else's response to your actions.
Finally, General Keith Kellogg, I saw that this past week there was an Air Force four-star general by the name of General Mike Minahan. He's the head of Air Mobility Command. He was telling his own officers that his gut tells him that we will be in a hot war with China by 2025. Do you think that assessment is anywhere near accurate?
You know, honestly, Vince, I don't know. I think there's going to be an opportunity to get into a hot war with him, and I think the opportunity is going to be Taiwan, and that's going to be the decision. That's probably where it came from. And that fight's going to be primarily an air and naval fight. You know, we are not going to put the United States Army on the ground and march to Beijing. That's not going to happen. And I think that he is actually, by extension, talking about what happens if the Chinese go to Taiwan. And I think what he signaled is he believes the Chinese will make an effort in 2025 to take Taiwan and take a very, very significant action. That's what he's saying. And I think he has got reasons and understanding to do that. I mean, he gets this better intelligence than you and I get.
Right.
And he's probably got concerns out there, and that's what he's signaling.
Yeah, it's all the trends are very worrisome, and the way this whole balloon saga is going, not making me feel any more comfortable. General Keith Kellogg, really appreciate your time today and your insight, as always, sir.
Thanks, Vince. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.